We've seen it. We've got our impressions of what footy looked like on the weekend. There was clearly more space. The players said there was more time. Chris Judd thinks it's going to heavily favour the better players. The star factor is going to be enhanced, Gil McLaughlin says. David King tiptoed down this path yesterday. What could you read into the numbers? So let's find out from champion data, Daniel Hoyne. Daniel, welcome to SEN.
Yeah, Jared, how are you going?
Good. Good. You'd have some fodder to work with out of the eight games, out of the nine games so far. What appeals to you? What jumps off the screen when you were looking for a pattern or a trend or just the early feelers for how the new rules have landed?
Yeah, so I think from our point of view, and you know, just across the weekend, we've sort of broken it down into two areas, if you like, having a look at the centre bounces as a whole, but then also having a look at the kick-ins as a whole and just separating them as two different components. And I think probably the one thing that did, you know, stand out from the centre bounce point of view was just the amount of time players had from the centre clearance. And that was sort of, you know, a little bit reflective in the numbers and the ability to be able to sort of, you know, get the ball from the centre clearance to inside 50. You know, that sort of improved a little bit. But probably the most significant one was just the amount of secondary stoppages that we saw from centre bounces. So if you think back to last year, 11% of centre bounces resulted in a secondary stoppage, whereas from JLT1, that was down to 5.5%. So that's a pretty significant drop.
Yep, so that stacks up the capacity to clear the ball with a little bit more time and space.
Yeah, correct. And then, you know, from a scoring point of view, it was up. It was up a little bit, but it wasn't massive. You know, last year we saw teams averaging just over 9 points a game from centre clearances. That was up from JLT1 to 12.5 points per game. So a slight increase there. But the kick-in stuff is probably of more interest at the moment. And, you know, we do bang on here, you know, a lot, as you probably heard over the last couple of years, it's about sample size. So we've got to be careful as well, but it is only one game and it is only JLT. But the kick-in stuff sort of, you know, appears to be real interesting in terms of how hard it is for teams still to actually move the ball from a kick-in, which might surprise people.
How did that quantify?
So last year, teams were able to go inside 50 from 19% of kick-ins. And from JLT1, that was down slightly to 18%. So not a massive difference, but scoring as well. You know, scoring from kick-ins is just such a small sample. You know, last year it was only 3 points a game. And then on the weekend, the average was 2 points a game. So I can understand people really getting excited about the kick-in rule and, you know, and what might come about it. But for so long now, the kick-in aspect is just such a small part of our game. And it is still so hard to get the ball from one end of the ground to the other, despite the new rule changes.
The scoring numbers, JLT to JLT, they were up, were they not?
Yeah, no, they were. So last year's JLT, the average was 80 points a game. And from this week, it was just over 88 points a game. So that's a reasonable increase, I suppose. Last year's home and away season, it was just over 83 points a game. So if we're looking, if that trend does continue, we're looking at probably, you know, one of the highest scoring seasons for probably the last 3 or 4 years. But sort of, you know, as we just did touch on before, it is only just round one of JLT. So there's still probably looking at that 4 or 5 week sample size in the premiership season to see if that's going to be a true indicator.
Individual teams, have you picked one or two that were of particular interest out of the way they played?
Yeah, I mean, if we have a look at the rule changes, whatever, I think from a centre bounce point of view, you know, there is potential for Melbourne to really sort of cash in on this centre bounce dominance. They were the number one centre clearance team in 2018. They were the number one scoring team from centre clearances in 2018. And again, it's only one game, but against Richmond, they won the centre clearances by 8, which is a pretty significant margin. But also, more importantly, they got 30 points on the scoreboard from centre clearances. And if we look back, the average from last year of just 9 points a game. That's a pretty significant number. So, you know, the ability to have a dominant ruckman like they do, and a pretty dominant midfield. From the early sample, it looks like they could be a team that might cash in on this new 6-6-6 rule.
Were there any teams that were measurable who played in a distinctly different way to how you've come to expect?
Yeah, probably one team. I'm not too sure if many people watched last night, but the Fremantle-Collingwood game was really interesting. I know Fremantle got beaten, against a pretty good team that we know. But the way that they play, we touch on, whether or not a team's profile is sustainable or not. The way that Fremantle played last night, we haven't actually seen that for a long time, probably going back to 2013, 2014. And it's more so just their ability to apply pressure to Collingwood last night to create turnovers in their fourth half, which we know, it is the sustainable brand of footy. They haven't been renowned for that for a long time. And last night, they created 38 fourth half turnovers against Collingwood, which is a significant number. And they dominated the ball in their fourth half. They just haven't probably got that polish yet in the fourth half of the ground to be able to capitalise on this. But a profile like that, if Fremantle continue that throughout the home and away season, they actually might surprise people. And again, I know that we're touching on, but it is only JLT1, but that is a significant shift.
And was there a profile of a team that would raise alarm bells, that it would be concerning against how they would have marked or how you would have expected them to present?
Yeah, I think the Adelaide game was probably of most interest. It was a really easy game to watch on the eye, but the different style between the two teams was pretty significant. Adelaide's ability to be able to cash in on turnovers, which we know is a sustainable way forward, was just far superior compared to Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide relied on scoring more from stoppages, which is not the sustainable way. If we think about it, you get 70 opportunities a game to score from turnovers compared to 35 opportunities a game to score from stoppages. So that was a pretty significant match for us. I know the margin was only 3 goals or whatever it was, but if those numbers kept going forward for both teams, for Adelaide it's probably more of a positive, and for poor Adelaide, I'll be looking at that as a little bit of a concern going forward.
When you sit down to watch JLT2 broadly, what are you on red alert for? What are you absolutely searching for?
It's probably more so the individuals, I reckon, Jared, just in terms of where teams are actually, lining up different, different personnel. I think Hawthorn was quite interesting on the weekend. It was a pretty weakened team that they took to Brisbane, but having a midfield of James Cousins, Will Golds and Harry Jones in the midfield, and they were their top three ball winners. Says whether or not they might take that into round one against Adelaide. Giants as well, we know that they've lost Scully and Shield, but Jai Caldwell, Haitley and Taranto played a lot more midfield time on the weekend, so whether or not we're going to be looking forward to that. North Melbourne flicked the ball around a lot against St Kilda, went more handball than more kicks on the weekend and racked up 460 disposals, which I honestly can't remember North racking up 400 plus disposals in a long time. Yeah. So, it's just whether or not that's going to be their mantra going forward. Who knows? So there's a lot of things, there's a lot of things to look forward to in JLT too.
Good on you, Daniel. Thanks for running the rule over it for us and giving us that insight.
No problem at all, Jerry.